Well, we have survived, I think, another election season. The votes have all been cast and mostly counted, and the results are becoming clear. Half the country is happy. Half the country is upset, but I think we will all get over it eventually. The good news, though, is that the election is over, and now maybe, hopefully, we can start healing some of the divisions and conflicts that we've seen in recent days. Our nation, as I think we all know, is not perfect. It never has been perfect. But whether your candidate won or your candidate lost, we should all feel grateful that we live in a free society where people can vote, where we can speak our minds, where we are still free to worship God and to live out our faith as we are led to by God and not told to by the government. We also today are expressing gratitude for our veterans, for those men and women who have defended our nation and served in uniform down through the years. And we are grateful for those of you who have served our nation in whether in harm's way, in combat, or just in stateside and other important duties. We're grateful for the ways that you have served. We are blessed to live in a free nation. And we love the good things about America. And we pray, we will continue to pray, that our nation will continue to be both free and good. And I hope, again, however you feel about the election today, I hope that you can pray in those ways. Now, today we are also called to remember that our true citizenship and our highest loyalty and our faith belong not to a nation or to a land or to any elected leader, but we belong first and most to God, who we know through Jesus Christ. And so today we're called to remember where our true loyalty lies. We're going to continue reading this morning in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read about Abraham, Sarah, and their son Isaac, and how God promised to grow their family into a great nation, and to give them a land where they could live, and to bring from them eventually the Savior who we know as Jesus Christ. And here's what we need to take hold of today as we read this passage from the New Testament, but about an Old Testament story, that our God makes and keeps promises. And that how we respond to those promises shapes who we are as people of faith. How we respond to the promises of God. So listen to the opening verses of this passage. We're in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. We'll read more of the passage in a moment. We read last week that faith is the assurance of what we do not see. Assurance about what we don't yet see, what we haven't yet received. That was Abraham's whole life. God asked him to believe in promises that sounded impossible, to believe in an inheritance that he wouldn't physically actually receive in his own lifetime. And that was especially true of the promised land. You've heard about the promised land before, right? It was a promised land, a land that would come through a promise, but a promise that Abraham had to wait for his whole lifetime, but that wouldn't be fulfilled while he lived. And so Abraham left his home country where he was born and raised, and he followed God's leading. He traveled far away into this new foreign place, and he settled there with his wife Sarah. And they prospered there under God's blessing. And they had a family there, and we'll talk about their family in just a minute. But Abraham was, through his whole lifetime, a foreigner. A foreigner in the land that God had promised. And so it was for him always just a promised land. A promise that he was hoping and waiting and watching for it to be fulfilled. But it wasn't fulfilled in his lifetime. In fact, it took another 500 years for the Israelites, for his descendants, to begin to receive that promise. And then it took another 500 years before they received the entire land that God had promised them, 1,000 years after Abraham. And that's why we still remember Abraham's faith. Because he believed what God had promised, even though it didn't come true in his lifetime, or in his children's life, or his grandchildren, or for many generations after them. And there are three little words in these first verses that we need to take heart. It says that Abraham obeyed and went. He obeyed and went. Because Abraham believed in what God said. He believed in the promised land. Even though he didn't receive it, even though he knew that he wouldn't receive it in his own lifetime, but based only on faith, Abraham obeyed and went. And here's what we need to learn from this first part of the story, that God's promises call us to obedience. What has God promised you? What's God promised all of us in this church? He's promised you forgiveness for your sins. He's promised you salvation through Jesus Christ. He's also promised you daily bread, that day after day He would meet your needs and you would see His hand blessing your life. He's promised you comfort when life gets hard. He's promised that His Holy Spirit would live within you and inspire you and comfort you and guide you and help you to feel God's presence. He's promised you grace and mercy. Especially when life is hard, God has promised to never leave you and never forsake you. And our response to God's promises, our response, again, is what makes us who we are as followers of Jesus. It's not enough just to hear the promises. It's not enough even just to say that we believe that someday God will fulfill His promises. But we need to live as people who actually believe that those promises, whether we have received them yet or will receive them in the future, that they are true and that God is faithful to what He's promised. And so our response to what God has promised in our lives is that we follow Jesus in obedience and we serve Him and we devote our lives to Him and in worship and prayer and by living out the mission of the church, by sharing the good news of Jesus, by sharing the love and the message of Jesus with people around us, we live out the promises that God has given us, and our faith in response to those promises is to live in obedience, to obey and to go where Jesus leads us. And so we read God's Word, and we follow what it says. And we hear the mission of the church to go and make disciples and to love people and to share the message of Jesus. And we do those things in obedience to Jesus, trusting that God's promises are coming true and will come true. Now, God's promise to Abraham was not just about the land, not just about the promised land. He also promised Abraham children and a family. And many descendants. And what was remarkable about that promise is that Abraham and Sarah, when God promised them that they would have this great family and a great nation would come from them, they didn't have any children. And not only did they not have children, but they were also already quite old and beyond the point where they could expect to have any children. And so listen to the story of Sarah's faith. Now in verse 11. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. God promised them a family. We think of the Israelites, that is the nation that came from Abraham and Sarah. We think of the Israelites as a great nation, thousands, millions of people settling into the promised land. But that great nation had to start with one child. One child of promise. One son who would be given to Abraham and Sarah. God made this promise when Abraham and Sarah were already well into their, as we would say, their golden years. Right? They were already senior citizens. They were already elderly. As you might say, over the hill. Or as verse 12 puts it so sensitively, as good as dead. Right? To put it another way, Sarah was biologically not able to have children anymore. And yet, she believed God's promise. Think about what that would mean for her. And we need to learn this lesson from Sarah's faith. God's promises invite us to believe the impossible. We talked about this last week. God created the world out of nothing. That Enoch was taken to heaven without dying. That Noah saved his family in an ark when the flood came. God does impossible things. And in faith, we believe that God still does things that the world looks at and says, oh, that can't happen. That'll never happen. Why would you believe in something like that? If God promised that, God must not be real. God must be crazy, and you're crazy for believing it. But in faith, we believe that God can do impossible things. In fact, every time we pray, we are confessing our faith in the impossible. And every time God answers a prayer, it's giving evidence of His miraculous power, His power to do things that under the ordinary circumstances of the world wouldn't happen. But God steps in and changes things. Sarah heard God's promise that she would have a child. And she knew that it was impossible. She knew that physically, biologically, it couldn't happen. But she believed anyway. And you think, well, how could she have that kind of faith? How could she believe in that kind of promise? And we think about our own faith and you wonder, could I have believed that sort of promise? Sarah believed, it says, in the God who made the promise. Even if the promise itself was beyond what she could understand or comprehend, or how could this possibly be, Sarah believed in the God who made the promise. And therefore she believed that it could come true. You see, in faith we trust that all of God's promises will come true. Even the ones that sound to us to be impossible. Even the ones that we can't understand or make sense of. But we believe in the God who makes the promise. And so we believe that the promise will come true. Now we're going to skip over the next few verses, 13 through 16. We'll come back to them later on. They are the centerpiece of Hebrews chapter 11. They're so important, I want to save them for later. They speak about our faith and our hope for heaven. But for now, we need to finish the story of Abraham and Sarah. You see, God did miraculously give them a child. They had a son named Isaac. And they loved him. And they knew that through him, God would fulfill all the great promises that He had made to give them the land, the promised land that their descendants would inherit and build them into a great nation out of this one family. But then God tested Abraham's faith. And it's one of the hardest and most important stories in the Old Testament. And this is how it's retold in Hebrews 11. We're now in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Even knowing that God was testing Abraham's faith, this story still makes us uncomfortable. If you don't remember the whole story, God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And so Abraham set out to do that. And he took Isaac off to Mount Moriah and he built an altar and he brought along wood to build the altar and he placed Isaac there bound and he took a knife in his hand to do what God had asked him to do, to sacrifice his own son, the child of promise. And what's remarkable about Abraham's faith is not just that he believed in God enough to obey what God asked him to do, but also that he believed that God could raise the dead. Because if he didn't believe that, then he would have to believe that God's promise about Isaac and about the nation that would come from him wouldn't be true. And so as Abraham raised the knife to sacrifice his own son, he was believing not only in the promise that God had made, but that somehow God could fulfill that promise even in the face of the death of his own son. And so as Paul writes here in Hebrews, he believed that God could raise the dead. Now, of course, we know that that story ended in a way that Abraham didn't even expect. As he raised the knife to sacrifice Isaac, an angel appeared and held Abraham's hand back, and God provided, instead of his son, he provided a ram, an animal that was caught there in the thicket, and so instead of his son, Abraham offered the ram as the sacrifice there. It happened on Mount Moriah. 2,000 years later, in that same place, God offered his own son, sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And then God raised him from the dead to open the way for us to enter eternal life through faith in the name of Jesus. Abraham believed that God could raise the dead. And Jesus' empty tomb proved God's power over death. And so we learn this lesson of faith, that God's promises give us resurrection hope. They give us resurrection hope. This is the greatest promise of all that God has made to us. And here's how Jesus explained it to us. In John chapter 11, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Jesus asked, "Do you believe this? Do you believe that God can raise the dead? Do you believe in Jesus' resurrection? Do you believe that you will live forever through Him?" Several years ago, I sat beside the bed of a brother in Christ. He was about my age now, in his late 40s, and cancer was eating away his body. And we talked and we prayed together just hours, as it turned out, before he died. But he said to me, "I'm ready to go home." That is resurrection hope. The hope that even though our bodies may die, that we have the hope of being with God forever because of what God has promised us through Jesus Christ. And it brings us now back to verse 13. It says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return, that is, to an earthly country. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. All these people were still living by faith when they died. Hebrews 11 tells the stories of our ancient brothers and sisters of faith, those who've gone on before us. And it encourages our faith because we share the same hope that they had. Even those who lived before Jesus was on the earth, they had the same hope, the same faith that we have today. They looked forward to the coming of the Savior. We look back on the coming of the Savior. We are foreigners and strangers on this earth. We don't receive God's greatest promises in this life. We long for a better country. We hope for our place in heaven. And so we also believe today that God's promises point us toward our heavenly home, which is our real home, our true home. If you place your faith in Jesus Christ, then you are like Abraham, to whom God promised a new home, a new land where God Himself would be the architect and the builder. And Jesus said to us that He would go and prepare a place for us, a house with many rooms where we will join that great multitude of believers from all over the world and all through time, rejoicing before God's throne. And if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, then you are also like Sarah, who believed that God could give her something that the world said was impossible. And yet we believe that God has something far better for us, a better country, a new city, a heavenly home that's waiting for us. And if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, then you're also like Isaac, the child of promise, the heir to the great blessings of God. You live even though you die. And you live forever by faith in Jesus Christ. You see, our God makes great promises and we cling to those promises because we know that God's promises always come true. So let's give thanks. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Lord, we thank You for Your great promises. We thank You for promising us that You're with us here and now and today. You'll never leave us or forsake us. You promise us daily bread and the good things of this life. But Lord, Your great promises we know we won't receive now. We won't receive in this life. Because we know that Your best promises point us ahead to heaven, to that time when we will get to be with You forever and ever, and all the struggles and difficulties of this life will be taken away, and we will be made new, and we will get to be with You forever. So, Father, give us faith, give us the assurance in those promises. Help us to walk in Your ways in this life, to obey and follow Jesus. And Lord, help us to look forward to that time when we will get to be with You forever and ever in that better country, in that new home, that new city that You are preparing for us. Lord, we thank You for that great promise that we receive through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray this in His name. Amen.